Blog Talk Radio.
Cloudy day here in New York City at my time is 4:30 p.m. And we're going to be talking about jazz, and particularly a trombonist, John Yao. But, of course, before we get into that, you know, we have to have a message from our sponsor. Oh, yes, I already had my glasses of milk, but, you know, what can you do? And, oh.
Hey, Martha. Why do you smile? I was just thinking. I'm here at Ronnie Brook Farms eating delicious grass, not being injected with some synthetic hormones. I just gave birth to another cutie calf and don't even have to deal with any bull. I hear you, Mar. You know what they call cows that can't give milk? No, what, Sal? Utter failure. So, where is our big daddy Ronnie? Probably somewhere exercising, doing yogurt. At Ronnie Brook Farms, you'll find the best of dairy products. Our milks vary in butterfat, from non-fat to heavy cream. Enjoy the creamy yogurts from the cup or one that you can simply drink with the best of culture without artificial thickeners or additives. We don't have sour cream. We do have creme fraiche. Butter is better when you can choose cinnamon toast to spread on bread or pancakes. And since we scream for ice cream any time of year, you'll love our 16% butterfat. Do you remember getting bottled milk delivered, opening it to find the cream on the top? That is how you'll find our sweet-tasting cream-lined milk. I'll hand it to you, Sal. Our milk may get past your eyes, but certainly not homogenized. Ronnie Brook Farms, where cows always seem to be in a good mood. Check us out at www.ronniebrook.com.
Yes, and as I said, I had my glass of milk. And, John, I'm going to play one of your pieces right now, Tightrope, to introduce you. How's that?
Sounds great. Thanks for having me.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Now, we have obviously heard more than just a trombone. So what gives?
Well, trying to take the trombone to new heights and to take it to the next level along with all the other instruments that we have going on there and just exploring.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking about. What's the deal with these other instruments?
What do you mean? What other instruments? Well, we have
what instruments
saxophone.
Is this and who are they?
Okay, yes. It's soprano saxophone, which is John Arabagon. There's a Fender Rhodes being played by Randy Ingram. The bass player is also a Queens resident in Astoria, Peter Brenler. And then on drums is Sean Baltazar. And we've been playing together for a while, finally got a chance to record some of this music a couple years ago and just put it out recently. So,
are you the composer of this one?
Yes, I've composed all the music on the record.
Oh, okay. So now I want to end, but I first want to ask you about this thing regarding is always. There's always something happening in the city, isn't there?
Yes, I know.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
No, that's okay. And actually, it gets funnier when they pass by my house because you hear it outside, and then you hear it inside from outside,
Right.
Because, anyhow. I want you to first tell me about this thing that you have a residency at the Terraza 7 mm-hmm. Cafe. What's that about?
Well, it's a monthly date that I'm going to be playing at Terraza, and it's going to be the third Wednesday of each month until the end of the year. There's one exception in October. I think we're going to do the second Tuesday in October. And the residency is an opportunity for me to showcase some music from the record as well as some new compositions and that I've been working on and to get a chance to play with some different musicians and try some different configurations of instrument combinations. And so I'm really looking forward to getting the opportunity to exploring all those things in the next few months at Terraza.
Okay, can you tell me also a little bit about Terraza itself, the cafe?
Yes, of course. I live in Jackson Heights, so I won't lie. It's on top of being a great venue, it's also very convenient for me because I can walk home in 10 minutes. But the place itself is kind of one of the the hidden gems of the neighborhood in Jackson Heights for sure. It's a small place. It's just south of Roosevelt Avenue on Glean Street, and it's a unique setup because there's two floors to the venue. There's the floor you enter in at the bar, and there's sort of like a loft upstairs that sort of is open, and the band plays on this stage that's suspended over the bar area. And then there's some seating on stadium seating on the second floor as well. But there's an open area that looks down from the top to the first floor where the bar is. So even if you're not upstairs listening to the music, you're still hearing it from the downstairs. And they program just a lot of great music, all sorts of wide variety from jazz to big band to traditional folk music of Peru or Colombia, bachata. I mean, it's all the music of the neighborhood, all the music you would imagine you hear in Queens, in the area so diverse as Queens, gets an opportunity to be played. It's at Terraza, and the owner is a very, very his name is Freddy Castablanco, He's a great supporter of the arts, and he's working really hard to keep this venue going because there's I think he might be having to move the venue to a new spot, but it's still kind of an up in the air thing. But luckily, it's going strong, and it's like I said, it's definitely a crown jewel, like a hidden gem, I think, of the neighborhood.
Is it accessible? I mean, you have to climb, you know, go. Is the only option to go upstairs, to go up steps?
No. Sorry if I didn't make that clear. Yes, you can either or. If you want to just stay downstairs and be closer to the bar or chat downstairs and enjoy that area, you can. If you want to go upstairs and really listen to the music and not, you know, and get a more intimate, you know, experience of listening to the performers up close, you can go upstairs and do that. So that's, I think it makes it a very unique setup.
Okay. And as a, because it's called a cafe, is there food there that people can eat or grab a bite or anything?
They have a light menu of empanadas. But there's also a couple, you know, restaurants in the neighborhood there. There are more than open to letting people bring food from outside if you want. Yeah. So, you know, as far as I've seen, I've seen that they've been pretty open-minded about it. There's a great taco truck around the corner. it's just a great space. I think it's one of the unique places in New York City for sure.
So you're going to be there this Wednesday, right, on the 16th?
Correct. Yes.
Okay. And how long is your set or sets? From what period of time? I mean, does it begin?
Yeah, we're going to play two sets starting at 9 p.m. So likelihood we'll, you know, do, I don't know, 50 minutes, take a short break, and then play another one. So probably, you know, from 9 to 11 is a safe bet. Looking forward to be joined by Josh Lawrence on trumpet, excellent trumpet player. Mike Eckroth, piano, is also actually a resident of Jackson Heights. And Edward Perez, who's also a resident and plays a lot there at Tarazza with his own groups, including the Tarazza 7 Big Band. And then Chris Smith, great drummer, who actually was in Queens too, in Astoria. So trying to keep it in the Queens family, if you will.
Oh, okay. No, that's fine. Oh, the people, you know, not only know where to go, but also you have, you know, the locals are getting to do their thing as well. I understand you also, but when I looked at your name, I said, I don't know why, but the name sounds familiar. And then I realized I constantly get emails from Birdland with the schedules of
great.
Who's there. I said, that's where I saw the name before.
Yes, that's a great place. I love that club as well. We did our CD release for Presence at Birdland in May. And Johnny, the owner of Birdland, has been a really great supporter of my music and my projects. And lucky enough to get the opportunity to play there in May. And I've played there many times as a sideman under the Afro-Latin Jazz Orchestra, Arturo Ofero. And so it's great to get a chance to lead the band this time, my own group at the same venue at Birdland, which I'm, you know, really grateful for the opportunity, and hopefully we get a chance to do it again soon.
Okay, that's good. Now, when did you get into the trombone?
I switched from piano. I was around going into fifth grade. I took piano for many years, and I just didn't like my teacher. And I made a deal. Never heard that before. But I made a deal with my mom to switch instruments to trombones. I knew that she wanted me to play an instrument and to let me quit piano but pick up trombone instead. And it definitely ended up working out well for me as a composer, because now you know, I'm able to really get around the piano, and it's a really useful tool for me as a composer. And of course, the trombone has afforded me a lot of opportunities too, getting a chance to play with all sorts of great musicians and tour the world. So, I think I just got lucky with that with that switch that I made around fifth grade.
Yeah, it's also not as easy to tote around a piano, is it?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a little heavy, yeah, I know.
Right, it might be hard.
But one of the things about the piano, of course, is that learning the piano can almost get you to learn any other instrument.
Mm-hmm.
Once you kind of master the whole theory and, the piano and all that, and it says, okay, so this way, this instrument works like this.
Yes.
And,
yeah.
It's in the key of that kind of thing.
Sure.
What is the trombone in the key of, supposedly?
The trombone is a concert instrument, but they say it's in the key of B flat.
Is it considered a B flat instrument like the clarinet?
No, it's considered concert.
Not really, because you're really controlling the trombone, just on your embouchure and you're just, the mouth.
Sure. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it has to do with the amount of air and pressure with your lips and speed of the air and all these things. Piano's been very useful, especially as a composer, big band that I also lead and write for. And that was my last CD. It was this group I have called the John Yao and his 17-piece instrument. And a lot of the songs that I ended up using on this record or writing for that record were things that I came up with on the piano. And got to know the instruments, of course, really well that I was writing for. And it's just the ultimate composer's tool. Like, you have the whole orchestra at your fingertips, literally. So, pianos, like you said, just an excellent tool.
Yeah, it's, there had been times, I think I remember somebody said to me, asked me once to teach him how to play the guitar. I said, well, I don't play the guitar. I said, I'll tell you what, I'll figure out how it works, and then I'll teach it to you. That's what
right.
I did. I went, okay, so it's a matter of if you press down, it's like, okay, on the string, and okay.
Exactly.
But I have also played the oboe, and I tried playing the trumpet, so I, got an old sense of like what the mouth has to deal with, But
yeah. The trombone must be hard.
Yeah. Well, the thing also, at least with the trumpet, you're still pressing on valves, so those are notes. The trombone, there is no.
Right.
It's all, yes. You have to sort of get this sense of where that note is going to be.
Yeah. There's specific spots on the slide where there's a certain designated position. There's seven positions.
Oh, there's something there that kind of lets you know.
Yeah, yes, but it's also there's not as much of a there's definitely room for error, like you're saying, because you're not pushing any buttons down. there's also the element of being the ability to tune notes on the fly. To correct notes, in real time, which, you can't really get away with on any other instrument, so it's a unique one in that sense, too.
Yeah. Well, since it's like if you're playing a bugle, there's no notes, correct? A bugle doesn't have any things to press down on,
well,
am I correct?
Well, there's no buttons, yes.
So you're really relying on your embouchure, and that's it.
Absolutely, yes. But then
you're
limited to the notes. You can only play certain notes.
It would basically be
like the equivalent of playing a trombone without any slide. You wouldn't be able to adjust any of those notes. So, for trombone, it's like you said, the embouchure, adjusting that. And then also the lengthening or shortening the tube that the air is going through, and that's what changes the pitch.
Okay. Well, I'm curious that you just, in terms of choosing the trombone, did you choose it in terms of the sound that you get out of it more than like any other brass?
I try to replay this moment a lot. I don't actually remember why I chose it. I think it was just I picked it up. I was able to make a sound on it right away. It sounded cool to me. It was kind of no fuss. You know, there weren't any buttons. There wasn't a reed. You know, all these little things that seemed to be, to me at the time, like a hassle. So it just became one. I literally didn't try any other instruments. So I was just like, oh, this is it. and got lucky.
That's good. So, and I guess you've been playing for like, over a decade, it says here.
Well, I've been in New York over a decade, but I've been playing, you know, like I said, since fifth grade. And so it's been probably you know, 20 years. Yeah. So I lived in Chicago for 5 years after I was on the road. I went on the road with the Glenn Miller Orchestra right out of college for a year and a half, and then moved to Chicago, and there was there for 5 years playing professionally and teaching, and I came to New York to do my master's at Queens College in 2005, and I've been here.
We
will
wind
so.
Up at Queens College. I don't know what it is.
Oh, yeah. Is that where you went?
Yeah, I went there too, but I didn't. I was playing instruments just because I wanted to. I mean, I've been playing. Mm-hmm. I played the piano since like I was 10, but if I was playing instruments and I actually, you'll laugh. I took up the oboe in high school because they told me it was an expensive instrument that they were getting. So I said, "Oh, what the hell?" Like, you know. And I played that.
Right.
But then afterwards, I said, it was kind of thing like, oh, wow, I need a credit and an A. Oh, how about his trumpet?
Right. That's a hard one,
know,
too, though. You didn't take it easy on yourself there. I'll let you, you know. Both of those are there's not much room. There's a steep learning curve for both of those. So, you know, I give you credit for.
Yeah. The problem with my playing the trumpet, though, was that I was in a class of all music majors, and for some reason or other, I was the only one playing first trumpet. But you know, like when the mouth gets tired.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, I was like, and then now you don't have any melody, and the teacher has to run to the piano to.
Right.
To play the melody, you know. But, you know, other than that. No, actually, I've been, because I had a guy on that I met who teaches cello at Queens College, and there was somebody else. So, yeah, all these teachers at Queens in the music there. But then they don't. Don't you love the left rack?
Yes, yeah. Beautiful space.
The acoustics, you know, they're wonderful.
They've done a lot of nice stuff for the school, too, over the years since I've been there. So it seems to be moving in the right direction. So it's great.
Yeah. So, and in terms of, when did you move to Queens? So you moved to Queens while you were going to Queens College, or?
Yes. Yeah. So I came in 2005 to Astoria, and then I was at Queens College till 2007, and then I've been as either Astoria, now I'm in Jackson Heights, you know, pretty much the entire time, mostly Astoria, but Jackson Heights the last 4 or 5 years now.
Okay.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, that's like the. You know, it's interesting how in terms of how that area changed, coming from I don't know, it's like an antique kind of area to an area that's multicultural, I guess.
Yeah,
really multicultural.
Yeah, absolutely, that's one of the things that Terraza embodies, and that's what's so great to see and to get an opportunity to be a part of and support it, you know, whether as a player or as a listener. One of a kind.
Okay. So is there anything else that we could share about you?
I would say definitely if you're able to join us on the 16th of August, that would be great. If not, there's other opportunities, including September 20th. Of course, you want to go to my website, johnyao.com, J-O-H-N-Y-A-O. You can always see all the upcoming dates and find out more information about what I'm up to, what projects, and where I'm playing. And I hope to get a chance to meet you soon. And I think
they're making me go. Then I have to make me go. It's interesting,
right?
Because sometimes I get, to review theater, because my background is really showbiz, a comedian, singer, actress kind of thing.
Great.
But music has always been a thing with me. So when I'm getting, at least when I get to go to a place that there's music, it's, either off key or not. There's no more than that anything else is like my own taste in music as opposed to criticizing, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. Critiquing or whatnot. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I hope you enjoy look forward to meeting you. I hope you enjoy the show and
I'm looking forward. And
a great chance to talk to you.
Okay. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to leave out. I'm not sure what to on it, but according to on my my uploading or downloading here, it says that the song Presence looks saying 45 minutes long. I don't know why.
Oh.
So I'm not going to. So rather than do that, I play tightrope, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm
going to
leave us with Fuzzy Logic.
Okay. That's the third one.
All right.
So. Excellent.
Thanks for calling in, and I'll see you on Wednesday.
See you Wednesday. Have a great day. Thanks, Mom.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Okay, gang, everybody. Well, I'm going to end the show. And so when you get to listen to this, if you're not listening now, just have a nice day, afternoon, evening, and the rubber chickens, I may bring them to the show. Yeah, I think I'm going to do that. Why not? Let them have a good time, too. See ya. Until next time.